The views and reflections expressed by the hosts and guests of the Tambayan podcast are strictly their own and do not represent any views of any recognized or established Catholic community. The Tambayan podcast reserves the right to its final interpretation of any opinion expressed in any of its episodes.
Welcome to Tambayan Podcast, where you can stay here, rest for a while, and just hang out. My name is Jade Noche, and I'm back to host our very first Lenten special. I hope, brothers and sisters, that your Lenten journey with the Lord has been meaningful and purposeful. For this episode, we are going to meditate on the seven last words of the Lord before He died on a cross. Let us join our brothers and sisters as they each share their reflections. May we rest our hearts and minds as we prepare to celebrate the Paschal mysteries, and may our focus be turned unto the spotless victim who suffered and died for our salvation.
Today, we'll be reading one of the seven last words spoken by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as He was crucified, as recorded in Luke 23, verse 34. I'll also be reading the related verses to this last word. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Him and the criminals there, one on His right, the other on His left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them. They know not what they do." Omniscience is an aspect unique to God, especially God the Father. As mentioned in Matthew 24, verse 36, He is the only one who knows the last day, in which all will be judged according to His divine justice. Despite knowing the inner workings of the universe itself and everything that works within it, God that is outside space and time, He is especially concerned with our affairs. The affairs of our heart, on how we can improve our lives, how we are, and how we could be. Ignorance is one of the things that concern us as young adults. In this age, we usually concern ourselves with improving our skills, our knowledge, our wisdom. Our brain apparently works best around this time of our lives, and this level of development is still short. It still falls short because we operate within space and time. We are merely mortal. We are merely human. And Jesus, in this last word, emphasizes that in our blindness and in our ignorance, we make mistakes. One of the most egregious examples of ignorance na makikita natin in scripture, especially committed by a young adult, was yung ginawa ni Judas na pag-traidor kay Jesus. Famously, he betrayed our Lord for 30 silver coins. As a collector, alam na natin ngayon yung value ng actual coins. It's around 989, around 1,000 Canadian dollars. So that makes $30,000 in total. I mean, in hindsight, makikita natin na it's an especially ignorant decision. Why would anyone betray the Lord for something so short-lived, di ba? In the larger scheme of things, $30,000, I mean, why would Judas betray somebody who is all-knowing and all-good for a year's worth of salary? Then I start to realize na yun nga, in our daily lives, in our daily actions, we betray our Lord for far less. less than a year's salary, maybe only a day's worth of satisfaction, or even less. One of the realizations I made during Lent was about 2 weeks ago when we bought a cabinet from IKEA. It comes in a large box. It's very heavy, it's very burdensome. And I came to think while I was carrying it to our apartment, this is a very heavy weight. And this is probably nothing compared to what our Lord bore up the hill of the skull. And He knew the whole time kung bakit niya dinadala yun. He bore that for us. He bore that knowing that we will all fall short. We will all make mistakes. We will all be imperfect. And God did it all the same. I betrayed Him for far less, and He still made the ultimate sacrifice for all of us. It's an unpayable debt, but of course, we have to strive all our lives to try to match that. God's love is universal, and He did it not just for me, not just for you, but for everyone in the world. Knowing our ignorance, knowing our shortcomings, knowing our failures. God voluntarily chose to face death, fight death, defy death, and eventually lead the way for our salvation. Considering that, we have to make the difficult decisions then ourselves, to emulate, as mortal and as flawed as we are, yung example na in-exhibit ni Jesus nung hinarap niya yung pinakamatinding sakripisyo. Matthew 5 verse 44 says that, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." It's very easy to say, and it's very difficult to do. Pero yun nga, mediated with the Lord, mediated with our prayer, mediated with our effort. Maybe we can do that as well. Maybe we can incorporate that in our lives, especially reflecting ngayong Lent. The path is difficult, but the Lord has already led the way. And as mentioned in Romans 2, verse 16, when God judges people's hidden works through Christ Jesus, we could pray and hope na yung blueprint na sinet niya para sa atin is something that we have followed thoroughly and deliberately in our lives, despite the difficulty. Because God knows na even with our ignorance and our faults and our sins, He knows when we have sincerely put an effort. He knows when we have resigned our worries and our concerns towards absolute faith. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother A. Hello, mga katambay. Today, we are going to talk about the second last words of Jesus where He said, "Truly, I tell you, today, you will be with me in paradise." So, it's such a beautiful passage, no? It's actually one of my favorite last words of Jesus because this passage is written in Luke chapter 32 where it says, "Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with Him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified Him there, along with the criminals, one on His right and one on His left. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at Him "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God?" he said. Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Then Jesus answered, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So such a beautiful last words, no? Because brothers and sisters, to me, it's like a constant reminder of our faith. It's like a constant reminder that there will always be a light after a tunnel, or there will always be hope in our despair, or there will always be a place called heaven when we die or after we have our last breath here on earth. So what did we learn, no? We learned that one of the thieves had faith to Jesus, no, at the moment of his death or after his last breath. He believed that there will be life after death. He believed that there will be a paradise after death. But Jesus is actually talking about a paradise that's not of this earth, but he's actually referring to heaven. Wow. Anyway, I guess I want to share my own experience, or I just want to share my own version of paradise with you, mga katambay. So here we go. I guess, okay, back in 2017, no, it was actually a really, really tough year for me, because very depressing year for me, because it was actually the year where my ex-girlfriend and I broke up. It was a struggle for me because it was my first heartbreak. I guess we all can relate to that, or never mind. That being said, no, mga katambay, that year led me into lots of wrongdoings, no, forgetting to go to church, getting drunk every day, or drinking every day, forgetting to respect my elders, forgetting to have care for the people around me, and even using the Lord's name in profanity, you know, even using the Lord's name in vain. So there's lots of struggle, lots of emptiness, no, in my heart, lots of pain in my heart, until one day I found this community, no, where it's a religious community, no, where people my age would actually gather and talk about God's love, about how Jesus died for our sins, where we can just talk about our own problems without judging, or even talk about life, you know, fun activities such as worshiping, dancing, even going to retreats together, you know, even going out to just grab something to eat, or just to have coffee runs or something. Anyway, it gave me an eye-opening, no? It gave me a realization in life that it's not really the end of the world for our problems, no? It's not really the end of the cliff. For example, heartbreak, whether it's losing your loved one, whether it's a problem financially, whether it's, you know, even saying hi to your crush, you know, to your anyong or to your opa, or anyong hasayo or something. My point is, brothers and sisters, I found my paradise in this community, you know. It's where I learned how to be a better Catholic or be a better follower of Christ, or better yet, be a better human being, because I learned how to swallow my pride in this community. I learned how to handle my emotions, or I learned how to control my bad habits, and I learned how to serve or to pray or have that relationship with our Lord. I learned how to pray. Matter of fact, brothers and sisters, no, I actually found my GG, no, or my the one in this community, no. Shout out Shelly, best girlfriend ever, best role model, I guess, best friend. So anyway, we're actually serving together, no, in this there's an upcoming event, no, in this community, no. It's where you can, you know, serve God, spread the word of the Lord, you know, like I guess mapapa sana all ka talaga sa mga pinagagawa ko or sa mga gawain ko. Anyway, highway, just to conclude my part, no? So, mga katambay, I just want to say that we are all sinners. We are all guilty in our wrongdoings. But it's never too late. It's never too late to return to our Lord, no? It's never too late to know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because He's the truth and the light. He's the Savior. He's the best. And I guess with that, praise God.
The good news of our salvation according to the book of John, the Gospel of John. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. The good news of our salvation. Praise to you, Jesus Christ. This is my bookmark. The Rosary. Mama Mary. Well, reading this statement reminded me of how much of a gift Mama Mary was for us. And itong statement na to, itong word ni Jesus when he was on the cross, he was already blood, sweat, and tears, very drained, very exhausted from a very exhausting day. He was crucified. He was giving his entire love for the world. And this was the last thing that he gave us, his mom. His ultimate gift for us was his mom. And his relationship with his mom was the most beautiful thing that he's had in the world. I come to think of it sometimes na naisip ko. Si Mama Mary, we all know this. Si Mama Mary, she was with Jesus the entire time. Simula nung nag-yes siya kay Angel Gabriel. Nandun na si Jesus within her. She was with Jesus literally the moment that he was conceived in her womb hanggang sa pinanganak na si Jesus, hanggang sa lumaki si Jesus, hanggang sa naging teenager, naging adult, young adult, and then adult, and then when he started his ministry. The person that started his ministry was Mama Mary. And knowing that Mama Mary, she may be so young, she may be very early in her teenage years, the yes that she gave and was already so big and so huge, and then when they presented Jesus, like him, see Joseph, when Mama Mary and Saint Joseph presented Jesus, like Simeon, and Anna the prophetess, both of them were like, Mama Mary, your heart is going to suffer a lot of sufferings. Your heart will have so much sorrow, but this boy, this child, would be the gift to the nations. This child would be the blessing. This will save the world. And Mama Mary knew that from the beginning. She already knows from the start that this, my son, my whole heart, my whole blood, flesh, this will be the start of the world being saved. And she was the first one that knew when Jesus is going to start his end or start his ministry. She was the one that started that miracle in the wedding of Cana. Kung hindi dahil sa kanya, hindi mag-miracle si Jesus at hindi mag-i-start ang kanyang ministry. And I think it shows a lot of how strong Mama Mary's heart was. Na even if she knew that her son is going to die in her arms, the one that she loves the most, he will die in her arms, she was still willing to start it. Siya yung nagsabi na, sige anak, you go save the world. I will be hurt with you. I will be with you. I will be with you in your passion. I will be with you in your death. And I will be with you in your resurrection. She was there in all of those things. And she was even there even after. That's a very, very strong heart. And Mama Mary has that. And she knew what to say to the apostles even after Jesus has left, or even after Jesus went to heaven and the apostles started his ministry, when the church has started. She was the one that still tended to the sheep that Jesus left the earth. She was the one that is the mother of the Savior. And she, her heart is just so pure, so beautiful. She would have been the greatest gift that God the Father has given to Jesus. And now, Mama Mary is the greatest gift that Jesus is going to give to us, or has already given. And so the church has evolved, our devotion to Mama Mary has evolved, and we have kept the rosaries in our lives every single day. And it really makes me reflect on how much I do treasure this very special prayer of the rosary, of calling to the mother of my lover every single day. It's life-changing. It's beautiful, to say the least. But knowing this and being reminded that ito yung huling regalo ni Jesus sa atin, his mom, one of his last words was to still give his mother, to still give the greatest gift that he's been given when he was on earth. It's so profound and so beautiful. And so the least I can do is call upon her, is to pray with her and ask for her intercession, as she also prays for the world and she also suffers with the world. I let Mama Mary suffer with me. I offer my sufferings to Mama Mary. I offer my sufferings, and she would make it light and offer it to Jesus. And you know what? Mama Mary is really, really, really the best. So thank you, Jesus, for the gift of your mom and for the gift of this very beautiful relationship that we all are looking up to. too. Yeah, praise God.
Hi, brothers and sisters. Join me as I reflect on the fourth, seventh, last words of Jesus. From the book of Matthew, chapter 27, verse 46. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud shout, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why did you abandon me?" So the first thing that comes out on my mind is the pain of Jesus. Wherein we can see how he embraced his humanness. By separating himself from the Lord our God, by acknowledging his presence as a human, he embraced the pain, he embraced the suffering in order for us to be forgiven with our sins. It also shows humility. He humbled himself by separating himself with God. With these brothers and sisters, I hope we will be able also to embrace our own humanness, to acknowledge our sins and ask for forgiveness. Even when the time comes, like we're like Jesus, that we kept on asking if God already abandoned us. Let us always remind ourselves that we are not alone, that we are forgiven with our sins through Jesus. I hope we will be able also to find time to go back to our God to ask for forgiveness and to continue to hope for our salvation. Even if we don't know where we are going, let's humble ourselves and let God be God. Let God lead your life. Let God lead the way of your journey. And fully trust our Lord that He has the greatest plan for us. Even if we find it blurry, even if it's too painful, even if there are things that didn't go well with our plans, just let God take the lead and believe that there is nothing impossible in His will. And with these brothers and sisters, I hope this season of Lent, we will be able to have a heart with full of joy and grace from our Lord. God bless you.
Hi everyone, so I am Shelly and today I'm gonna read a scripture from the book of John, chapter 19, verse 28. Jesus knew that by now everything has been completed, and in order to make the scripture come true, He said, "I am thirsty." When I was reflecting on this passage where Jesus said, "I am thirsty," I started asking myself, a very simple and honest question. Bakit nga ba sa dulo pa tinanong ni Jesus or sinabi ni Jesus yung word na I am thirsty? Pwede naman sa umpisa, pwede naman sa gitna, or pwede rin naman nag-perform na lang siya ng miracle. But Jesus didn't do anything, right? And I was trying to put also myself in that scenario na what if nandun ako sa specific moment na yon? What could be the scenario? Paano ko ba nakikita yung isang Jesus na humihingi ng tubig? And one thing that struck me is that He didn't, because on the cross, Jesus didn't act as a miracle worker. Na oo nga, no? Hindi pala siya miracle worker. Hindi siya nagpe-perform ng miracle doon sa cross. But on that cross, we can see that he was just a man. A man who is in pain, a man who is struggling, a man who is thirsty. And on that cross, we can see that He chose to embrace His humanity. On that cross, we can see how He carried all of our pain, all of our sin, and to thirst just like us. So, I thirst was more than just needing of a water. His final words were spoken for every person of every generation, and that includes you. So I try to to put some 3 points of how do I understand I thirst. So the first one is, maybe Jesus was also referring when he said, I am thirsty, is Jesus is thirst of his Father. Maybe in that moment where Jesus was in deep pain, physically, emotionally, spiritually, though he is God, he is also a fully lived, he is fully lived the human experience. Jesus was thirsty, hurting, he was broken, and maybe at that moment he also felt alone, so alone. Jesus carried the weight of all our sins. He took all the pain, the punishment, the struggles, and maybe in that moment he also felt so distant from his Father. He longed for that comfort, for that closeness, for that embrace of the one who was always with him. Siguro that moment si Jesus para siyang bata na anak na lang din na naghahanap ng yakap ng isang magulang. In that time, he was thirst of his Father's presence. Just how we are alike when we are in pain, when something is bothering us, when we are in trouble, we always look for someone to hold us. And Jesus felt that too. The second one is, Jesus was thirsty for you and me. Even in his suffering, Jesus was thinking about us. His thirst wasn't just physical, it was also spiritual. A deep desire of our hearts. Jesus is telling us, I thirst for your love. I thirst for your presence. I thirst for your, I long for you to come back to me. His suffering and in pain didn't stop him from loving us. It only showed how deep his love really is for us. And the last one, he was thirsty because he gave up everything. Imagine at that specific final moment of his life, his body was at its limit. Yung pagod na, yung sobra na siguro yung pain. Sobra na yung parang pabigay na din talaga. He had nothing left, but he still chose to stay. If I can think about it, pwede nga naman na bakit hindi na lang in-stop ni Jesus yung pain and suffering niya at that specific moment. He is the Son of God. He has all the power. He can do miracles. Pero bakit pinili niya na magstay na lang doon sa cross? And he stayed on the cross maybe because he knew that it was the only way to save us. Baka yun na lang din yung naisip niyang paraan para maligtas talaga din tayo. I thirst is more than just 2 words. It's a testament of how Jesus understands our brokenness, our sufferings, our struggles, our pains. He desires for our hearts and He wants us to share what we have received. Na sa bawat uhaw natin, physically, emotionally, spiritually, kasama natin siyang naramdaman lahat yun. Una niyang naramdaman lahat ng yun. I thirst shows how far Jesus was willing to go just to reach us, to love us, and to save us. He gave up everything so we could never feel empty again. So today, if you feel tired, if you feel broken, if you are suffering from any pains, if you are struggling, physically, emotionally, mentally. If you feel thirst deep inside, remember that Jesus understands. He would always understand. Because Jesus sees you. And only His love will satisfy our thirst. And right now, He is still calling. He is still waiting for your presence. God bless everyone.
Hi, I'm Che. And mga katambay, let us reflect on the sixth word, it is finished. A reading from the book of John. Jesus drank the wine and said, it is finished. Then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. When Bro Pearson asked me to take a video reflection about this word, I just realized that I don't have anything or any idea about it. So short that I really can't tell anything. So I tried to do my research, and for me to know what does this word really mean. So they said that it comes from the Greek word tetelestai, and according to my research, that this word was used for business transactions to tell that the debt was paid in full, or in military to declare victory. And when Jesus uttered these words, it means that our debts has been paid in full by His sacrifice. He already declared that He already won this spiritual battle. His mission on earth is finished. It is the fulfillment of prophecies and the ultimate victory overall. Then I realized, if Jesus already paid for our sins and said that it is finished, then why we're still suffering? Why it seems like it wasn't finished yet? Why it feels like bitten? Then I told myself, this one is really hard. So I just continued with my work and left this one aside. But while I'm working, I also listened to the Lent 40 in Halo app about the Holy Land, and they're discussing about Gethsemane. And on that video, or the video material, yeah, Jeff Cabins is talking about, or talking to Jonathan Rumi about suffering. And then Jeff mentioned that for us to understand what suffering is, we must understand Jesus' suffering. They also mentioned St. Paul's words to Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. It says there, "And now I am happy about my sufferings for you, for by means of my physical sufferings, I am helping to complete what still remains of Christ's sufferings on behalf of His body, the church." So, what can be possibly lacking? Is it the reason why we're still suffering? Because maybe there's something missing or there's something lacking. And they mentioned that JP2 has an answer for this question. So what can be possibly lacking? It's actually nothing. But you might come to know the love of God, which is the crucifix. He made room in His suffering so we can participate. Jesus' crucifixion happened because He loves us. And because of this love, we are now free from the debts that we cannot pay. But aside from this, Jesus wants us to participate in His suffering so we can also join Him on this victory, so we can enjoy heaven. The sufferings that we experience is our fair share for this salvific act. So going back to the sixth word, it is finished. We will experience this completely if we will understand how Jesus loves us through his sufferings. And to participate in this salvific work and victory, we should offer to Jesus our own sufferings so he can purify it for the salvation of souls.
All right. So right now, we are going to talk about, or at least reflect on, the what is traditionally held as the last word that was spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ before he died on the cross. And we can find it in Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 46. And this reads, "It was about 12 o'clock when the sun stopped shining, and darkness covered the whole country until 3 o'clock, and the curtain hanging in the temple was torn in two. Jesus cried out in a loud voice, 'Father, in your hands I place my spirit.' He said this and died." When I was in the seminary a couple of years ago, one of the practices that they've held on for a very long time and then that they still do is praying multiple times a day, right? As Christians, as Catholics who are outside of the seminary, we are also called to do the same. And then we call it the divine office, which I believe is another topic that we can discuss on another day. Now, one of the prayers there, the compline, which is basically the last set of prayers before one goes to bed. No, this passage or this last word is repeated multiple times on multiple occasions because I believe that tells us two things. No, first of all, is that death is a certainty. It is sure that we are going to die, right? It is sure that we are going to die, right? No matter how much we try to avoid death and to look young over and over again, well, I believe I'm well past that now. But we believe, no, that try as we might, we cannot avoid it, right? It's going to come. And that brings me to my second point, which is that we don't know, or there's a certainty about death, which is we don't know when it's going to come. We know that it's coming, but we don't know when it's going to come, right? So that also, I think, calls us to action in such a way that if death is coming and we don't know when it's coming, right, then we ought to live our life to the fullest. But does that mean that we're going to blow all of our RRSP, RESP, or life savings into a casino and hope for the best? No, right? Does that mean that we're going to eat and be merry for tomorrow we shall die? No, right? It means that if we don't know when this hour is coming, we ought to live our lives to the fullest in such a way that we should try to please God and to love our neighbor as ourselves, right? We should try to serve God, love God above all things, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And at the end of the day, if you think about it, that's all what Christianity is all about. It's about loving God through actions. Because it's not enough that you just say, "Oh yeah, I believe in God. I accept Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior," and you're not doing anything about it, right? That's why it's, I believe it's twofold, right? I believe it's twofold that, you know, loving God is not just loving God per se, but it also is attached to the commandment or the greatest commandment of loving your neighbor as yourself. Because again, if you separate those two, it amounts to nothing, right? Now, again, this is what all there is, right? Christianity seems complex, right? We try to make it complex, but it really, at the end of the day, it's simple, right? Loving God and loving your neighbor as yourself, right? Just moving forward a little bit, we also, in meditating on this last word that was spoken by the Lord, you know, on the cross, we believe that there is a resurrection, right? We are, as in a few days, we will be commemorating the resurrection of the Lord. We are an Easter people and Alleluia is our song. And what that tells us is that our God is a God of the living, right? Our God is a God of the living. He's not a God of death. He is a God of the living because he himself was resurrected from the dead, right? He himself was brought back to life. And, you know, it's to rationalize it, it does not make sense. Because, again, I think it was a homily that I listened to recently, that none of Christianity makes sense. Because, number one, Our religion, right, our faith professes its, you know, professes its faith on somebody who was hung up on a cross, right? And in I think it is in Galatians that St. Paul commented that, you know, we proclaim Christ crucified, but then other people would say like, no, it's ridiculous, no, it's dumb, right? It's not supposed to be, because how would a God who's all powerful die? But that's what exactly happened in this day, right? God himself gave his only son to die for our sins and save us, you know, and bring us to salvation. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, which is one of my favorite verses for reasons I will discuss in another time, is that Jesus, right, he had always the nature of God, but he did not think that by force he should try to remain equal with God. Basically, what Paul tries to say is that, sure, Jesus is divine, but in order for him to save us, he needs to be like us, because we are able to relate to him. Because this is what God does, right, brothers and sisters? This is what God does. He meets us halfway. He meets us where we are, right? Again, like just moving forward a little bit, no? We see that after the Lord has appeared unto his disciples, he asked Peter three times, right? Remember that story. He asked Peter three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt at the end of that, because why did Jesus have to ask him three times? And as you all know, or as you may or may not know, rather, that this is because he also denied the Lord three times. However, one thing that is not commonly known about that exchange was, A, it was written in a language that's different from English, right? It's written in a form of Greek. And then what strikes me about that, especially relating to this things that we're talking about now, is that Jesus used the word different, used two different words for love. Simon, son of John, do you love me? The first two questions were referring to a love that was selfless. Simon, son of John, do you agape me? Agape is selfless love, which is why, like, sometimes you'll see it in promotional materials at church, right? When they are inviting us to share, you know, our time, talent, and treasure, like in donation drives or in food banks, right? Or in Christmas spaghetti package that we will send to the homeless, something like that. Right? Simon, son of John, do you agape me? And he has it twice. And then Peter always responds, yes, Lord, I philios you. Meaning, I love you as a friend. Oh, friend zone si Lord, diba? But, you know, and then at the third time, Jesus was like, you know what? I'm just gonna meet you halfway. Simon, son of John, do you philios me? And then Peter replied, yes, Lord, I philios you. Which is basically tells us that, you know, the Lord has all of this love to give, but he is not able to give that until we are capable of receiving it. Amen ba tayo dun? And finally, no, I think just to wrap all of these reflections on the seven last words of Jesus, especially if you're watching this on Good Friday, we just hope, brothers and sisters, that, well, like Brother Jade said earlier, that this Lent has been meaningful to you. But also, more than that, is that I just hope that every time that we observe the Paschal Mysteries during this season, that we are able to reconnect, you know, with our Lord and Savior, you know? Not just to reflect on these seven last words, but more so to constantly renew our commitment to repentance and faith, right? To repent of our old sins, or to repent and turn away from things that we have been doing that are destroying us, and faith in such a way that is faith that is alive. Meaning, we profess God as our Lord and Savior, but we also make sure, no, that this faith is seen, no, sometimes without even the use of words, right? And finally, brothers and sisters, before us, or as we end this this reflection, I hope, no, that it might be the longest episode that we have thus far, but I just hope that you all have something to learn, something to reflect on, and something to take away. Because as we prepare our hearts for the holiest day in the church's calendar, may we be worthy to receive and proclaim that Jesus is indeed risen, hallelujah, and that we are indeed know, His Easter people and Alleluia is our song. Let us just close this podcast and this episode with the prayers. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, we praise you and we bless you because you have given us your only begotten Son to suffer and die for our sins. We know, Father, that He has paid the price and He has redeemed us from our sins, and He is calling us constantly to turn away from our old ways and to sin no more. We pray, Father, that as we journey from Lent to Easter, may you just provide us the fortitude, no, to proclaim that Christ has been crucified, but also has died, and also has been risen from the dead, or has risen from the dead. We believe, Father, that we too will share the joy, will share His joy in our in His resurrection when our time has come. And all of this we lift up to you as we say, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Until next time, mga katambay, take care and God bless.